Get started. Welcome. My name is Brad Stevenson. I'm with the Enterprise Search product team and within program management specifically. And I'm here to talk to you about hybrid and search in the cloud. How many folks were at the session immediately before this, which was the hybrid overview? Locked out. Yeah, there was a severe lack of seating, so apologies for that. So a couple of you. Looks like we have a fair number of new faces, though. So there'll be a tiny bit of overlap between the presentations, just to sort of set the scene and help you think about hybrid. But we'll do pretty much new content and different demos to help you get a better sense of the hybrid search experience in a little bit more detail. So we're going to divide the agenda into a couple of parts. I'm going to start out by talking about search in the cloud, specifically search within SharePoint Online. What it looks like from an end user experience, what it looks like from an administration experience, give you a better sense of that. Did anybody go to Glenn Anderson and Jem Akin's talk yesterday, which was sort of the introduction to search overall? Show of hands, a couple of folks. Okay, so you saw a little bit of that. I'll give you a quick tour of that and then show you some of the administration side of things as well. And then we'll sort of switch to talk about, what I like to call this journey to the cloud. So being able to go from primarily sort of a traditional on-premises deployment today to having your collaboration capabilities, email, and UC hosted on your behalf in the cloud as part of Office 365. So what does that journey look like to get from on-premises up to the cloud? And then how does hybrid search help with that journey? And so we'll start with the user experience part of stuff. We'll then sort of dive into some configuration aspects, what do you need to do to actually get it up and running, and then try to talk a little bit about some considerations sort of beyond the basics, some UI tweaks, and some other things to think about. And then we'll close it out with a pointer to some resources, some documentation, and some tools that you'll need in order to get a hybrid configuration up and running when you're back at the office next week. And then I'll try to leave about 10 minutes at the end for Q&A. So let's start with search in the cloud, and specifically SharePoint Online. So we've been running in its current form, SharePoint Online, for about 18 months, and it's existed. We've had some other sort of cloud-related offerings before then. But it's been running for a while. We have hundreds of thousands of customers. It's super reliable. And there's search capabilities offered there. So when we look at SharePoint 2013, and we sort of compare that to the current capabilities of SharePoint Online Search, what does that look like? What's different? So I've sort of divided search into a couple of sections. I want to talk about what the differences look like for each of those. So let's start out with crawl freshness. So crawl freshness is obviously important for any search system. The ability to, as users create content or edit content, to be able to have those changes reflected in search so that people can find what's changed or the new item that's been created. So today, we're sort of an order of magnitude 1 to 2 hours fresh. So that means if you went and uploaded a document right now, you'd see that reflected in search in less than a couple of hours. A lot of new capabilities as part of SharePoint 2013. Specifically, a big one called continuous crawl, which is the concept of always being able to run search, lightweight search crawls in the background. And that helps us get dramatically better in crawl freshness. So we go from hours fresh all the way down to minutes fresh. So the goal here is that the bulk of changes are able to be picked up in less than 15 minutes. From a query latency perspective, things are pretty snappy today. If you execute searches for content in SharePoint Online, you get pretty good performance. Some new enhancements as part of 2013 will help make that even better, though. We've had a big move towards client-side rendering. And so the concept here, as it relates to performance, is do as much as possible from the client. So that first request that you make, if a user goes to a search center, they type in some keywords, and they hit search, we're going to send back the whole sort of page chrome, all of the images related to the search center, down to the client machine. But we can be smart about that for subsequent requests. And so for subsequent requests, we can just send the search terms, and we can just get back the search results and keep the rest of the chrome intact on the client machine. So from an end user perspective, that helps things feel sort of a lot faster and a lot snappier. So we feel that that's going to make an improvement there from the query latency and the perceived performance side of things. In the introduction to search talk yesterday, if you're able to attend that, you probably heard about the concept of being able to sort of bring the best of SharePoint search and fast search together in SharePoint 2013, and that helps us from a scale perspective. So the sort of origins of fast is coming from very, very large deployments, hundreds of millions of documents from a scale perspective. So being able to add some of those sort of components that are tested at that level of scale into the new SharePoint 2013 search system helps us address the needs of even larger customers down the road. From a manageability perspective, you can do more in terms of managing the system. You can control things such as managed properties and result sources in SharePoint Online with the 2013 version than you can today. And that's possible because we've sort of tried to work as hard as we can to take some of the search management activities that exist in 2010 only at the service level and push those down as much as we can to the tenant level or even to the site collection or the site level. So we give you a lot more flexibility about what you can manage and where you can manage it. And so ultimately that lets you customize and tweak and control your search experience in a way that makes sense for you. From a user experience perspective, you've probably seen a few screenshots or the demos during the keynote or the intro to search session yesterday. So a pretty dramatically different user experience. Much more modern, sort of cleaner, in keeping with the rest of the SharePoint UI theme. But specifically what we focused on here from a search perspective is helping users accomplish their task faster. And the task is usually, I'm looking for something, I want to find it, and then I want to take action on it. I want to read the document, I want to contact the person who wrote it, whatever I need to do. So we've really focused on not just sort of making it look more beautiful, but also helping users get that job done faster. And so being able to execute a search and see results, being able to more quickly and efficiently determine whether an individual result is the one that you're looking for, either by looking at the content in the snippet or by hovering over it and seeing a full fidelity preview in the hover panel. All of that helps you sort of hone in on what you're looking for and then take action on it. And then finally, from an extensibility perspective, there are some inherent limitations in the cloud in terms of being able to customize it to your heart's content, specifically running full trust code. That gets difficult in a multi-tenant system. But what we focused on for 2013 is allowing you to do a lot more without even having to write code. And so the list of things that you could do in 2010 versus 2013 without having to write code, we've definitely focused on making that longer. And so not only can you do more, but it's easier to do things in terms of customizations. And a great example of that is this concept of being able to customize a display template. So a display template is sort of allows you to control the way an individual search result looks and feels. So you might have a different display template for a Word document versus a PDF versus a SharePoint site. And in 2010, you could control the look and feel of that, but it was using XSLT, and it was pretty difficult to create, and it was even more difficult to sort of maintain and debug. And so we switched over to using HTML and JavaScript. You can use a lot more variety of tools to be able to create it and debug it, and ultimately you can customize faster and easier than you could before. And then if you do want to use code or script, so you're creating an application, maybe it's hosted in Windows Azure, it could be a SharePoint app, or you've got a separate application that needs to interact with Office 365, and specifically it needs to issue search requests. You can do that in sort of a standardized fashion through client-side object models. So you can use C# code, you can use JavaScript, or you can make REST calls through the REST API. So search sort of fitting in with the rest of the standard SharePoint extensibility model and making it easy for you to interact with SharePoint and to extract different pieces of information from the different workloads. And then finally, regardless of what you customize, whether it involves code or doesn't involve code, you may want to package that up, and we've focused on making it easier to package those customizations up in 2013. Two different ways to do it. The first is this concept of being able to import or export your search settings. So this is pretty cool. You can go in to create a search center. You can customize it. You can add managed properties, query rules, result sources, display templates. Basically, using the power of the UI, you can sort of tweak it, get it looking just the way you want, and then you can go into the search settings for that site. You can click on export the search settings, and we'll roll all of those settings up into a single XML file that is then portable. You can move that between environments. You can add that into a SharePoint app and do whatever else you need to do with it. So much easier to sort of create the customizations and then to be able to make them portable and share them within different environments. So let's switch over and give you a quick demo of what search looks like in Office 365. So we're going to start out here just on a standard team site, so just a regular sort of out-of-the-box site. We just happen to have a bunch of content that's been uploaded here. So the first thing you notice is sort of the ubiquitous search box. And so not that different from the current version in the sense of being able to sort of scope your search down to I'm looking for a person, or I'm looking for a conversation, or I'm looking for content sort of local to this site. But if we go and enter a search query and looking for content within the local site, we get to the search results experience there. And a couple of sort of obvious changes beyond just the dramatically sort of different UI structure. You've got sort of fairly familiar refiners, but again, with this concept of bringing FAST and SharePoint search together, these are now deep refiners. So you can see counts next to those for each of the items. We hide the counts by default just to sort of make the UI as clean as possible, but it's very easy to turn that on if that suits you. So you've got your basic sort of text refiners. You've also got new graphical refiners, so you can easily sort of adjust the slider in order to filter the content based on the last modified date. And you sort of see the core sort of presentation of results here. And then, of course, you've got the hover panel showing you some interesting additional information about the particular result that you're hovering over. One sort of really important aspect about sort of searching from a team site is the ability to easily sort of expand your scope and go up to the search center. So just by clicking on the link here, no longer are we looking at results just from this particular site, but we're looking at results from across all of the SharePoint Online content for this particular tenant. So navigating to the Enterprise Search Center here, you sort of see the different what we call search verticals. So by default, you're going to be on the Everything tab, so that shows you all types of content. We can easily switch over to the People Search experience. We can switch over to conversations or videos, which sort of scopes both the content that you're looking at and also presents the content in a very sort of customized format. The last thing I'll sort of highlight here is the hover panel experience. So in this case, we're looking at a particular PowerPoint deck, and you see not only sort of a full fidelity preview of that deck, and I can click through the slides in order to quickly, within the context of the search experience, determine if this is the particular document that I'm looking at. I don't have to sort of continually click on links, jump out, and then use the back button to come back. I can do that all within the context of the experience here. So I see this preview, but I also see what we call sort of deep links here. And these are basically pulled from the slide titles in this case, because that makes sense for the PowerPoint document. If we're looking at a Word document, you'd see the section headings. And so pretty powerful concept here of being able to go potentially from hundreds of thousands or millions of documents, not just down to the PowerPoint presentation that's responsive to the search query that I've entered, but also even down to the slide titles, the individual slides here. So helping you really drill down and focus on the thing that's interesting to you. So I can see basic information here. I can also take action on a particular item. And one of the interesting new capabilities, new actions added for 2013 is this notion of viewing the library or the folder in which this document lives. Our thinking there is if you find one item that's interesting, there may be other sort of relevant items immediately around it. So it's just one click away to be able to go to the location that contains this item. So that's sort of a very quick tour of the user experience side of things, if we go to the admin side of things, I'll show you what the tenant administration experience looks like. So we got here just by clicking on admin and then SharePoint. And so I have all of the different sort of services or workloads here. So if we drill into the search experience, you see a bunch of different links here. As I mentioned before, there's things that you are not able to do in the current version of SharePoint Online, including managing the search schema, so manage properties, result sources, and other elements here. So we drill down into this experience, you can see all of the out-of-the-box managed properties. You can easily drill down to a subset of those, and you can sort of add additional custom managed properties here if you're trying to build a search-driven experience. So powerful and pretty simple to use. One thing that you won't notice, that you won't see here, is a lot of crawl management. So aside from this last link, which is related to e-discovery and being able to give e-discovery administrators a little bit of visibility into content related to that experience, you don't see content sources, you don't see crawl health, you don't see anything, any of the other crawl elements. And that's intentional. We manage that on your behalf. So all you've got to do is focus on making your users productive, getting them, you know, creating team sites, creating content, and we take care of all of the aspects of crawling that and making sure that that shows up as fast as possible within search results. So that's sort of a whirlwind tour of the tenant administration side of things. As I mentioned earlier, you can manage search settings at both the tenant level and the site collection level and the site level. So you can do basically these same things at the location that makes sense for your users or for your particular project. So if we switch back to the slides, that's kind of a quick tour. The three things that I'd sort of call out, O365 search is powerful in a lot of different ways. It's from a feature perspective, there's more things that you can do. From a management perspective, it's easier and more flexible in terms of the things that you can manage. And from an extensibility perspective, there's a lot more that you can do, and a lot of that does not require you to write code. So overall, we feel like it's a pretty big step forward in terms of the overall capabilities of search within SharePoint Online. So if we switch gears a bit here, we sort of move away from the details of search within Office 365, and we talk about this journey to the cloud. So what does it mean to sort of get from an on-premise deployment to a cloud-based deployment? And I want to start that by talking about sort of a definition of the cloud. What do we mean within the context of this session? And so I sort of draw it as almost a ladder, if you will. So you've got sort of traditional on-premise deployments. The next sort of step up from there is this notion of the private cloud, like Windows Azure, and then the public cloud, as in Office 365. So starting at the bottom from a traditional perspective, this is a model that's worked extremely well for many years. It involves, as we all know, sort of managing all aspects of the process. You have to sort of plan and acquire the hardware, you've got to manage the operating system, you've got to manage all of the software on top of it, and you've got to sort of manage the data security, the high availability, the backups, and all of the aspects of sort of running a service. So that's great, you've got a lot of control, but it's also a lot of work involved in doing that. And so the private cloud offers some interesting alternatives in terms of effectively outsourcing sort of the hardware and the OS layer of things. So by being able to sort of virtualize the capabilities at that level and have those hosted on your behalf, you're able to focus a little bit more on sort of running the software on top of it. It gives you flexibility in terms of as your business needs change, it's easier to scale up or scale down. You're still managing, at the end of the day, quite a bit of from a SharePoint perspective, from an Exchange perspective, from a UC perspective, or from a custom application perspective, all of those things remain the same. And so the public cloud sort of takes you one step further and says, we're going to give you sort of out-of-the-box capabilities to take care of collaboration and email and unified communications. And it allows you to really focus exclusively on sort of customizing that experience to meet the needs of your users and other things related to running your business. You don't have to worry about some of the more complicated aspects that don't help you differentiate yourself as a company. So from a financial perspective, there's even more reason to sort of move to the public cloud. If you look at the traditional on-premise deployment, it's very sort of small in scale. And as you move up the ladder there, you've got dramatically larger scale and sort of the economies associated with that. So by sort of hosting a lot of customers together, we can dramatically improve the cost basis of things, and we can pass those savings along to you. So that sort of all rolls up into, we think the public cloud is sort of the destination of choice. It offers the sort of the maximum benefits and sort of the best return on investment when it comes to enabling collaboration capabilities for your users. So if Office 365 is a pretty attractive destination, but you're on-premise today, what does that process of moving to the cloud look like? There's a couple of questions that sort of immediately stand out. What should I move? Should I move everything that I have on-premise today? So unstructured content and structured content, and potentially not just content, but also settings as well. Because ultimately, you may have sort of customizations and data and settings that in their sort of entirety create sort of an atmosphere and an environment that's easier for your users to get work done. So figuring out what you're going to move and then the when you're going to move it, so how fast is it realistic to move it, what have other customers done, what seems to work, what doesn't seem to work in terms of speed, and how do I avoid confusing my users? Of either sort of moving it too quickly or moving what seems to be arbitrary sets of content and potentially not keeping them informed. And then finally, the how do you move it? So what tools are available to make that easier? Is it something that you should do or something you should sort of look for partners to help with? So all sort of interesting questions. I'm not going to drill down into a whole lot of detail on the answers, but we have two talks, one tomorrow morning and one tomorrow afternoon here at SharePoint Conference, which will go into more detail. The first talk, SPC 152, is going to talk sort of about the high-level strategy and planning. And then SPC 161 will talk more about the mechanics of actually doing that migration and some of the tools and logistics of making that successful. What I do want to talk briefly about is this concept of the life cycle involved. So most customers have the vast majority of their content on-premises today. So that's sort of the early end of the spectrum. The dark bar is the on-premise content. If you sort of fast forward months or potentially years, you'll be sort of late in the migration life cycle, and you'll probably be in the reverse situation where most of the useful content that your users work with on a regular basis is hosted in Office 365. But the implication there is, of course, that there's some sort of middle state, which is potentially very awkward. You've got a bunch of content on-premise and a bunch of content in the cloud. And so how do you avoid the confusion of the potential confusion with your users? And the other thing to call out is that the late stage may not result in everything, 100% of things that are useful being hosted in the cloud. Common examples when I talk to customers here, you know, I've got an older line of business system, or I've got a sort of a one-off custom application. It's either very difficult or it's potentially impossible to move that into the cloud. And so that's something that will remain on-premise for the foreseeable future. So it may not result in sort of 100% of things moving to the cloud. So we think that hybrid can help with some of those problems. And hybrid search specifically addresses the needs of your users. They just want to find content. They want to find things that they're looking for to get their job done. They don't want to change the way that they look for stuff. And they don't really care about this whole migration thing at the end of the day. They don't want to sort of be bothered with that. They just want to be able to get their work done. And so by creating this sort of a bridge from your on-premise environment today to Office 365 and abstracting some of the details of where the content lives at any given point in time, we think is a pretty powerful tool and set of capabilities to help make your users' lives easier. So recapping that quickly, we think Office 365 and the public or the multi-tenant cloud is sort of the destination of choice. It has the best combination of benefits as sort of a longer-term destination. That transition to the cloud is not something that's going to happen quickly. It's not going to happen overnight. It could be months or it could be years. And so we think that hybrid is really an important piece that helps you create this bridge, which could be something that lasts for an extended period of time. Okay, so that's sort of the context of sort of moving to the cloud and this journey to the cloud. Let's actually dive into the hybrid search piece of things. And I want to show you a demo in just a minute, but before I do that, I want to set that up and give you some information about what the demo environment looks like. So we've got two environments here. The left side of the screen is an on-premises SharePoint 2013 environment, and you see a picture of the search center there. And so that search center and that SharePoint search deployment is able to crawl SharePoint content and non-SharePoint content, potentially file shares, line of business systems, other custom applications. On the right side of the screen, you've got Office 365 and SharePoint Online Search, and it's able to crawl and make available all of the content within that particular tenant. And what we're trying to do here is basically connect these two environments together. So from on-premises, I want to see not only local results, but also results from the cloud. And in Office 365, I want to see the same thing, not only local cloud results, but results from on-premise. So let's switch over. So we've got the two different environments here. So we've got, in this case, SharePoint Online, and in this case, we have on-premise. So if we go and we execute a query here, so this is the on-premise environment, and we execute a query, and we see sort of this block of results at the top. And so these are all, as the title would indicate here, results from Office 365. So if we scroll down the page, we see, sort of based on the URL here, you can tell that these are local sort of on-premise results. And we see this block. In this case, we're showing the top three most relevant results from Office 365, but that's configurable. You could show fewer or you could show more. And we also have the ability to click through to be able to see more results. If we think that the top three look interesting, but they're not exactly what I'm looking for, I can click on this link here, and that's actually going to, the way this particular environment is configured, navigate me over to SharePoint Online and execute the same query so that I can see more results than just those top three. If we look at the reverse situation, so we're in SharePoint Online, we see the local results at the bottom here, and then we see this block of results that are being pulled from on-premises at the top. And one thing to note related to these results, in this case, that are coming from the on-premises farm, they are pretty high fidelity. So the refinement panel over here works across all of the results on the page. So local results and the remote results. You can see that the hover panel experience of being able to generate a preview for that particular document or click through and get information about the deep links, all of that works regardless of where the results are coming from, whether they're local or remote. So that's sort of a very brief tour of what user experience looks like. So here, the concept is that we're showing these remote results in line on the same page in what we call a result block. And then users can click through, depending on how the environment is configured, the click-through could go to the remote location, in this case, Office 365, or it could go to what we call a search vertical, which sort of keeps the user within the same local search center, but shows you data that's still coming from Office 365. So that's just a configuration option you can choose. And then the reverse direction of cloud down to on-premise, exactly the same from the user experience perspective, just a little bit different from some of the moving pieces and the configuration behind the scenes. And I'll show you what that looks like in just a moment. So very brief tour of the basic sort of default user experience perspective. Let's talk about what's involved in actually configuring hybrid search. So four sort of steps along the road here. The first is figuring out whether you want a one-way configuration or a two-way configuration. So if you think back to the content sort of lifecycle slide, the bar charts, the answer to this question depends a little bit on where you are in that cycle. If you're early in the cycle and you have the vast majority of your content on premises, a one-way connection from on-premise up to the cloud might satisfy your needs. If you're late in the process, a one-way connection, because most of your users are in SharePoint Online, to get access to just the last sort of remainder of content that exists on-premise, that might work. Or if you're somewhere in the middle, you probably need a bi-directional connection, because some of your users spend most of their time in Office 365, and some of your users spend most of their time on-premise. So that answer to that question sort of helps guide which set of steps you're going to follow from a configuration perspective. The second step here, before we sort of go into detail for the rest of them, I'll give you a quick overview of what sort of the end state that we're going for looks like. The diagram looks relatively complicated at first, but it's actually fairly straightforward. So you've got Office 365 at the top of the screen. And ultimately, what we're trying to do here is connect Office 365 with your SharePoint servers, your SharePoint 2013 servers down at the bottom. Typically, there's a corporate firewall that's going to exist between those two. So that's the lovely blue bricks in the middle. And in order to navigate that corporate firewall, we need to securely expose a service beyond it. And so that's where this concept of a reverse proxy comes in. So UAG is one option for a reverse proxy. There's other products that satisfy that need as well. So Office 365 needs to connect to this reverse proxy device in order for the request to be forwarded to the on-premise system. And in order to connect to UAG, we have to establish that we're sort of a trusted caller. We're not some random third-party service trying to make that connection. And so that trusted connection is established by the Office 365 user presenting a certificate to UAG. And UAG validates that to make sure that it's coming from a trusted source. And if it is, then it allows that request to pass through. When that request is passed through to the SharePoint servers online, we basically execute a search request on-premise. We go and fetch the links and the results that are responsive to that query. We do so in a way that maintains security trimming. So a very important concept related to search is, of course, security trimming, making sure that you see only the content that you have read access to. So we sort of keep that in mind, and we security trim the results, and then we send those back up through UAG to Office 365. Sure. So the question is how's the what's the relationship between UAG and Office 365? I'll give you some more details in a minute on exactly how that works. Ultimately, you do sort of establish a trust connection between them, but the certificate is sort of the thing that ensures that you're coming from a trusted source at the end of the day. Yeah. So we've talked sort of about the Office 365, UAG, and the SharePoint servers. The other components here are really just sort of helping us make that connection work. So the identity provider, the ADFS servers on the left, the directory synchronization tools, and the other MSOL, Microsoft Online tools, are really just helpers to establish that trusted connection between the cloud and on-premise, and to make sure that the identity of a user in the cloud and the identity of a user on-premise can be rationalized and mapped together. So let's sort of go through those four steps in a bit more detail. I talked sort of already about the one-way versus bi-directional connection. And so ultimately, this is You know, where are you in the life cycle and where are your users most likely to go when they want to find something? And so the answer to the question could be, well, they're pretty much all of them are going to go on-premises, or they're all going to go to the cloud, or some are going to go to each location. And that'll help you determine the type of connection that you want to set up. The next step is making sure that you have the prerequisites in place. So this looks like a relatively long list, but at the end of the day, we have pretty detailed documentation that walks you through the steps necessary to configure each of those. There's sort of a white paper that pulls everything together for you. Basically, the two groups here are non-SharePoint components. So we talked already about the reverse proxy and its role. ADFS is used to sort of broker identity and federate identity so that an on-premise user doesn't have to have a different login and password when they access Office 365. Single sign-on, again, sort of ensures that sort of federation of identity and the ability to sign on once and have that state persisted. And then directory synchronization is the concept of being able to make sure that your users that exist on-premise within Active Directory are replicated on a regular basis and changes are pushed up to the Office 365 environment. And so ultimately, that's sort of some of the infrastructure necessary to not only make the Office 365 experience smooth, but to enable this connection between the environments so that we know a user on one side is mapped to another user, or in fact, the same user on the other side. And then there's a few SharePoint-specific steps. Some of these are done through the UI. Some of these are done through PowerShell. But ultimately, it's establishing a trusted relationship between your on-premise farm and Office 365. So similar to the trust relationship between the reverse proxy in Office 365, making sure that when the request makes its way through to the on-premise farm, that the on-premise farm also trusts the issuer of that request. Step three, from a search perspective now, is to configure some of the data settings. So for search, we're going to create a result source. And a result source, if you're familiar with search in SharePoint 2010, is really a combination of a federated location and a scope. It's those two things sort of put together. And so ultimately, it just defines the URL of a remote location that search can ask a question to and it can get an answer back from. And so the two pieces of configuration information we would specify for this result source is, number one, what is the URL of that remote location that I should talk to? And then in the case where we're going from SharePoint Online down to on-premise, we would also want to point to the location of the certificate that needs to be attached to that request so that UAG knows who the calling client is. And that certificate is stored in the secure store service. And then the fourth and final step is configuring the UI settings for search. So as you saw in the demo briefly, we had what we call a query rule, which enables us to execute a query against this remote result source and to show those results in a block in the Everything tab of search. And then optionally, you've got this concept of a search vertical, which will only display results from that one location. So you can add that search vertical into your navigation and have that as a place that users can go if they know that they want to get content from that remote system. So what does it look like from a data flow perspective? If the two different directions here. So starting with a user on-premises. So if they're logging into an on-premise search center and they're issuing a query, we're actually going to issue two queries from that point. We're going to say, number one, we need to issue a query locally against the index and bring back results. But then we need to issue this second query up to Office 365. So the second query ends up targeting the client-side object model endpoint within Office 365. We do some identity mapping. So we go from the user's identity on-premise, and we map that using some of the federated identity and the directory synchronization concepts that I talked about briefly. We map that to the Office 365 identity, and then we simply issue a search query from there. And so that gets us the most relevant Office 365 results, which then gets sent back to the on-premise search center and ultimately displayed on the page of results for that user. If we look at the opposite direction, the basic flow is exactly the same. We just have this additional component of the reverse proxy. And so that helps us navigate this internet boundary or the corporate firewall. So the reverse proxy exposes this internet-facing endpoint. And so that request that comes from Office 365 targets that endpoint. It provides the certificate to prove that it's coming from a trusted source. Once the reverse proxy validates that certificate, it forwards the request internally on the internet at this point, and that goes to the client-side object model query endpoint. The query, again, we sort of do this identity mapping so that the SPO user now has is mapped and converted to the corresponding on-premise user. We execute a search query. We do the security trimming in the context of that user's on-premise credentials, and then we send back the results first through the reverse proxy and then up all the way to Office 365, and we present those results in the block within the search results UI. So same concepts, different direction with the addition of this reverse proxy device. So let's sort of go a little bit beyond sort of the basics here, and let's talk about this in a couple of different sections, or a couple of different slides. First of all, we created this experience, but there were a lot of sort of options and directions that we could have gone. So why did we choose one versus the other? And the first of those design considerations was the crawl versus query decision. So from a search system perspective, if we want to acquire data from a remote system, we could try to crawl it, or we could just query it at runtime. So we went with a query-based approach for a couple of reasons. The first reason was a limitation in terms of the crawl infrastructure within SharePoint and our ability to be able to request content from SharePoint online. So from a crawl perspective, we can request anonymous content, but we don't have the capability to crawl secured content within SharePoint online. So you could crawl public-facing websites, any public-facing pages, but any document libraries or secured content is not something that on-premise can crawl remotely. So that was certainly one factor. The other factor is the sort of usage. If you think about, we host hundreds of thousands of tenants today, and if a large sort of percentage of customers enable the hybrid experience, crawl is doing its best at all times to sort of look for changes and to fetch anything that's changed and to update its local index. So independent of usage, we're sort of dramatically ramping up the scale and the number of users and applications that are hitting Office 365. So that sort of doesn't seem desirable from a design perspective. And so ultimately, we looked at the options for the query route instead. And so query is nice because it ensures that you're always getting sort of the latest and freshest results. So when the user executes the query, we send it up, we're going to get back the latest content at most a few minutes old. So that was sort of some of the thinking behind the crawl versus query decision. From a UI presentation perspective, we looked we talked to a bunch of customers and we tried to figure out what sort of the requirements were here. And what we kept hearing over and over was, you know, it's really important to be able to see all of the results on a single page. So I want to see results in context. I don't want to have to navigate between pages or look at two completely different things and compare them against each other. So we looked at the options that we had there and the query rules infrastructure and this concept of being able to present a logical set of content in a result block seemed like it fit the bill. So without having to introduce a separate concept for how hybrid results will be presented within the search experience, and without having to show them in a completely separate location, we felt like that was a reasonably good experience that's very easy to sort of customize and tweak. And I'll show you in a minute what you can do to sort of go above and beyond the basic experience there. The third thing that we thought about was the relevance perspective. So search is a system that learns over time. So based on whether users click on a result or users don't click on a result, we can learn whether that is becoming more important for that particular query or it's less important, and we can adjust the relevance over time. So we wanted to make sure that the hybrid experience participated in that as well, and it wasn't something that that was static. And so by virtue of using sort of leveraging the query rules and the result blocks infrastructure, we can have the whole block of results sort of move up and down the page over time for that query. So if users click on a result, or if they click on the more link to see additional results, we'll sort of bump that up the page. If users don't find that group of results relevant for that particular query, all other things being equal, it will get lower and lower. And so that sort of, you know, is pretty important from a learning perspective. And then finally, the thing we looked at was backwards compatibility. So we know that the vast majority of folks have 2007 or SharePoint 2010 deployed on-premise today. And so we took a long look at whether we would be able to provide backwards compatibility. So if you could have a 2007 or a 2010 farm on-premise and connect to Office 365 and enable the same sort of hybrid scenarios that I've been showing you today. Like I said, we took a long look at it, and ultimately ultimately weren't able to sort of move forward with this, the reason being that a lot of the infrastructure necessary from an identity mapping perspective, so being able to take an Office 365 user and convert that user's identity once the query arrives on-premise, there's a lot of components that are new to SharePoint 2013, and to try to sort of draw the line around those and to try to port that back to previous versions was going to be a very, very technically challenging and very risky exercise. So we decided to sort of stick with SharePoint 2013 and to really sort of focus on anything else we could do to round out the hybrid experience there. So that's sort of a quick set of things that we thought about there. As I hinted at, the user experience related to hybrid is something that you can tweak and tune. And so I showed you in the earlier demo the sort of the basic experience of being able to present a result block. In that case, it was sort of pinned to the top of the screen. And you sort of had the same experience on-premise as you did in Office 365. So that's great. That's sort of a simple way to get started. But what if you wanted to sort of go beyond that? And so I've got I'll do another demo for you here in a minute. But what I want to show you is a particular scenario where we don't have just sort of general SharePoint and non-SharePoint content on-premise, but we actually have a specific logical set of content. In this case, I'll use the example of a glossary. So this is just sort of a series of definitions for acronyms or terms. It happens to be stored in a SharePoint list, but it could be in a file share. It could be in any other location. We just sort of have this logical group of content, and we'd like to expose that content in Office 365. Now, glossary it's important. It's useful information, but it's not something that users query for all the time. So we want to be sort of a little bit more targeted at when we show those results. And so I'll show you in a moment how we do that. And then for the reverse, for on-premises, we want to be able to show people results from Office 365. And we want to do that not by presenting a result block, but by having a sort of a dedicated search vertical and having that people search experience powered by data that exists in Office 365. And this may be a pretty common common sort of distribution of data in terms of, you know, having people in the cloud and then having specific addressable pieces of content on-premise. So let's jump in and switch back over to the demo box. So let's first look at the glossary list. So like I said, this is just a list in SharePoint and exists on-premise, but it could be anywhere else. It could be outside of SharePoint. The key is just that Search has access to it and it's able to acquire that content. So like I say, it's just sort of a simple list. It's got a series of terms. They happen to relate to Excel and Word, and then it's got a definition for each of those terms. And so the goal is to present this content, which exists on-premise, in our Office 365 Search Center. And we want to do that in a way that is only presented when users search for it. So if I search for, we'll switch over to the Everything experience here. And if we search for a term such as argument, which is, or we could search for a cell, or we could search for 3D to get a definition of that particular term. By default, we don't have any content in Office 365. So if we wanted to do something simple, like sort of add a query rule that matches on a couple of what we call action terms. So if I wanted to put define or maybe glossary might indicate that a user was trying to look for a definition of that particular term, we could pretty easily configure a query rule to look for just those terms and fire only in those situations. And here we're going and grabbing, as you can see from the result block, results from on-premise. The fairly simple but powerful concept to help you sort of focus in and target when you want to grab results from the remote location. The other sort of example here is people search. So if we switch over to our on-premise installation, or we can even continue in the cloud here, if I search for, let's say, a particular department, finance or legal, we'll see a bunch of test users. Please excuse the placeholder names here, but you see a bunch of users that exist, and they sort of match based on that particular department. And so these are all people within the people search experience that have profiles hosted in Office 365. But on premises, I'd like to sort of have the same experience. So if we switch over and we do, let's say we look for folks in the legal department, I'd like to have that same experience within my search vertical, within the people search experience, not looking for content locally, but looking for content in the remote system. And so we can take advantage of hybrid there as well by simply going and configuring the web part on this page to point to the remote result source. So I'll show you what it sort of looks like behind the scenes here. So we actually go in and edit the page. And we go and we take a look at the core results web part. We're able to see that it's not sort of grabbing people results and content locally from the on-premise profile store, but it's actually pointed at the result source, which corresponds to Office 365. And so what you see up here is the result source that we're bound to. So, but the default would be local people results. I've changed that to Office 365 people, and that helps us helps sort of issue the query to the right endpoint and bring back results in that experience. So if I go and actually click through on any of these results, I'm going to navigate not to the local profile on premise, but to the profile of that user hosted in Office 365. So a great sort of example of being able to sort of abstract the hybrid concept, so to move away from a result block and to have sort of a dedicated search vertical experience that where the data is sort of powered behind the scenes from the remote location. Question? It's not a limitation searching a different source. Sure, absolutely. So the question was, in the two different experiences here for people search, it looks like you had hit highlighting on the profile properties here. So we searched for finance. We got a hit on the finance department. Why didn't we get a hit on the legal department or job title here? On-premise. And so the question was, is that a limitation or is that a bug in the demo environment? It's the latter. Any other questions? Okay, so the question was if you maintain people in both locations. So I assume by people dictionary you mean just user profiles and the properties associated with them. So if I have people in both locations, how do I dedupe them? How do I figure out only to show one user profile? And so the short answer to the question, I guess, is it makes more sense to host profiles in one location or the other rather than trying to have essentially a multi-master setup where you have users editing their profiles on both sides. Yep. So. Yep. So the follow-up was it's not just a people problem, but it's sort of a more general problem that could impact content as well. As you move through this sort of content migration lifecycle, you could have potentially the same item in both locations, right? And so what are some strategies to sort of think about that and to minimize the user confusion associated with that? So it's a great question. It's a very sort of real concern. I guess it depends a little bit on each individual customer, how fast you're going to move, what you're going to do with the content. We faced the same problem when we were working with our internal Microsoft IT folks to help them migrate a big chunk of their content up to Office 365 in the last 3 or 4 months. I don't know that there's sort of a magic silver bullet that solves the problem, but what you can certainly do is make sure that you have a clear process associated with migrating a logical chunk of content, right? So you've got, you know, a particular site or a file share or a set of documents on premise. When you sort of plan for that migration to happen and you actually migrate it up to the cloud, you've got to figure out not just how you migrate it, but what you do with the stuff that's left here. So what you might do is you might make that sort of not visible to search. So you would stop crawling that on premise. So it wouldn't show up, but it would still be visible in the cloud. In some cases, you may want it to, you may need it to show up as read-only or some other things. But there are ways that you can sort of structure your migration to take that into account as well. Question? Okay. Okay, so let's switch back here, and then let's wrap things up. So the last of sort of the additional things to think about is this concept of clicking through on results. So if you look at the diagram here, if you have a user who is on-premise, sort of has access to your corporate network, and is executing a search, they're going to get back a set of results that have intranet URLs associated with them. And that's fine. They can click through, and they're going to get access to the content. If that user moves outside of the corporate network, and they're hitting an Office 365 site, and they're getting both local Office 365 results and hybrid results from on-premise, the on-premise results, by default, are going to have an intranet URL associated with them. So they're going to get back, usually, a block of results. And if they try to click through on one of those results, they're no longer sort of going through this reverse proxy. They're actually trying to navigate to that content directly. And so that's why I say you've got to think about making sure that users, in some fashion, have access to corporate network in terms of being able to access, you know, click through on content, and to be able to access those resources that we show within the search experience. So two ways to do this. One is just by having a VPN connection. Direct Access is one of the Microsoft solutions, but of course there's plenty of other solutions out there. Chances are you've got one of them enabled for your folks today. The other option is to try to leverage the reverse proxy, not only for that sort of initial query, but also for all of the subsequent click-throughs, so that before the results are sent back to the user, they're actually reformatted in a way that funnels all of the traffic through this reverse proxy device, which is exposed and addressable on the internet. Either one will work. What I would recommend is probably the VPN solution for one simple reason, and that's maintainability over time. If you use the reverse proxy as a solution for being able to route all of the traffic through it, it's got to essentially have a mapping table of what's the URL that I'm being that the requester is specifying, and then what should I convert that to, and where should I route that on the intranet. And so you end up with potentially a fairly large sort of table of mapping values, and you've got to maintain that as those intranet resources change over time. Potentially the content gets migrated to the cloud, or the application is sort of replaced with something else. And so to get out of the business of having to do that sort of maintenance over time, a VPN solution is a simpler proposition. So let's sort of roll things up here. So the prerequisites for hybrid search are super important. We've got lots of documentation to help sort of list those out and to help you identify the steps that you need to follow in order to get those configured properly. We think that hybrid search is a pretty cool solution. We've sort of focused on making it work in both directions, but we would encourage you to start with the on-premises to SPO. It's just simpler. It doesn't have the reverse proxy requirement. It's easier to sort of dip your toe into the pool, so to speak, and start with that. It's easy to customize the user experience. You can start with a relatively simple experience that I showed in the first demo, but you can go certainly beyond that and tweak according to the needs of your organization. And then from a click-through perspective, make sure you keep that in mind, but the VPN solution is probably the simplest, simplest of those. Quick question? So the question was, where are the Office WAX, the web application companions, in that are generating the thumbnails that you saw in the hybrid search experience? So that you saw the thumbnails both for the remote results and for the local results. So the WAX are operating wherever the content is being sourced from. So the remote results relies on the remote WAX to render the content. So we've done a bunch of work to make sure that that functions. So as you saw in the demo, you can see the previews, you can click through, you can see the section titles, for both for the remote results and for the local results. To generate the on demand to generate the preview. Yeah. Another question? Identity federation is a requirement, yes. So we've documented that. You can use ADFS, Shibboleth. But yes, ensuring that you have identity federation to enable the sign-on experience between the two is important. So I'll go through this slide, and then we'll have more time for Q&A in a second. So resources, we have some documentation available today. The one link that you want to remember is the first link on the slide there. So this is sort of your one-stop shop for content. You don't need to write it down. We've got the decks available afterwards, but definitely grab that and take a look at the content there. We have a white paper today that describes the on-premises up to SharePoint Online configuration steps, and that includes sort of all of those additional details and the links that you see below it for setting up some of those non-SharePoint prereqs. And then we're working hard to get you even more documentation. The next thing up in the queue is the reverse direction, SharePoint Online down to on-premises. We hope to have that posted in the very near future. And then we'll sort of expand the scope of the content from there and talk sort of more about the planning and sort of including the content migration and pointers to how you should be thinking about that and best practices related to that. And then finally, for the reverse proxy, the steps to get that configured vary a little bit based on the provider. So Microsoft has documentation for UAG, F5 has documentation for the Big IP product, and so on down the line. So we'd encourage you to consult that documentation directly to get the reverse proxy set up. So we've got a bunch of search hands-on labs this week. We've got search SMEs sort of roaming the exhibit hall, and then we've got folks that'll be at the Ask the Experts dinner event tomorrow night. So if you have more questions related to search, please come and ask us this week. We'd love to help you out. There's a bunch of additional hybrid-related sessions this week. So tomorrow and on Thursday, there's the two sort of migration talks that I hinted at earlier, the sort of planning and strategy and the mechanics of actually doing the migration. There's a hybrid BCS talk as well. So if you're interested in business connectivity services, that's another scenario that works in a hybrid fashion. There's the MSIT that I sort of mentioned earlier. Renee will be giving a talk sort of sharing their experience both from a migration perspective and from a hybrid perspective. And then finally, there's a talk on Thursday morning about sort of the lower level details on the identity infrastructure and secured service-to-service trust. We have sort of a special offer that's not sort of a traditional session here. We call it a design time session. We've got a couple of product group folks, and we've got some of our documentation experts who have some time blocked off tomorrow afternoon if you're interested in sort of having a personalized consultation session with us to answer some questions about hybrid that are sort of specific to your environment and your business needs. So if, based on what you've seen here, hybrid seems like it's going to be pretty important for your business and along this sort of road towards Office 365, you're sort of willing to sort of move fairly quickly and get a proof of concept or a pilot up in the next couple of months to actually try it out, we'd love to hear from you. Just come up to the stage afterwards, talk with myself or Joe Davies from our documentation team, and we'll see if we can get you allocated in that spot. A couple of search sessions. These are the ones for the rest of today, but there's more on Wednesday and Thursday. Lots of great content here if you're interested in learning more about people search or upgrade or search-driven applications. Lots and lots of talks. Super interesting stuff. So I'd encourage you to add those to your calendar if they're not already on. And so that's it. That's all the content that I've got. I'll stick around for a few more minutes, and I'd love to hear